I didn't breath, like, all over his face. Yeah.
Like, can you stop fucking smoking? Yeah. Yeah. All right, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Our Naked Story Podcast. Today, we have Blake Hernandez. That's me. And whatever your podcast name is.
Yeah.
Everybody knows your name now. Sorry. Elizabeth.
Thanks.
All right.
Was it candy
Thanks,
before?
Blake Hernandez. It was.
It was
Bubbles.
Know,
AKA.
Bubbles. Yeah. Alrighty. Today we have one of our good friends, Laura. Can we say your name?
Yes.
Never say anything.
Now it's Candy.
You have Candy. Lori Surfer.
Yeah.
Well,
Lori
know.
Surfer? Wait, that's upgrading.
Surfer,
yeah. Yeah.
One of the people that actually grew up at Olive Del Ranch. So first, let's do a couple sponsors, just because I want to get out our major rager party that's coming on in July.
So number one sponsor is Olive Del Ranch Family Nudist Resort.
What is that? Where is it? What is it?
It's in Colton, California.
Okay.
Southern California. It's an awesome place. And we're having a party July 13th.
July 13th, 2019, not 2020, because then you're going to be late.
Yeah.
Okay. Come out for the Young Naturist
weekend.
Party weekend. So we're going to start the weekend off Friday night, a little mellow YouTube karaoke.
Yep.
Any song you could ever imagine.
DJ Wake and Blake.
That's me. No big deal. Yeah. Anyways. Yeah. Any song you can ever imagine is going to be on YouTube.
Yeah. Despite any song you can think of.
Yeah.
And if you can't think of a song, we'll have some books out. How
yeah.
you?
Or we'll sing another song that's
yeah.
not even existed yet. So there's that. Saturday morning, we're going to wake up to a nice little mellow yoga session with somebody.
With somebody. We don't know yet.
It's going to be Elizabeth.
It might be.
It. Yeah.
I'm not a certified yoga teacher, but...
It's fine. Just come out.
We'll
come
figure it
us.
Out.
Come get naked in the sun. No big deal. All right. Then, you guys, during the day, you're just going to chill by the pool, have a couple brewskis or water, whatever you want to drink. No big deal. Around 3 o'clock, though, better prepare yourself because we're doing the
Beer
Olympics. You see me fucking crazy, dude.
Yeah.
So we got games. We got prizes. We have a magician. And other stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Other stuff.
It's going to be cool. I promise you. So check it out. 35 and under.
Big
what?
5 foot balls.
Oh.
Yeah.
We're excited.
Dude,
yeah.
We have big balls.
We have some of the supplies in here right now.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. So anyways, shit little beer, shit little alcohol water, or whatever that stuff is that you guys drink if you don't drink
Sparkling
alcohol.
Sparkling water.
Yeah. Whatever.
Seltzer
anyways.
Water.
Yeah. And then... After all of that, we have a 80s, is it a 70s, 80s party now?
We switched it to 70s, back 80s. To the 70s and 80s.
Back to 70s and 80s parties. So for all you people out there who love those 80s and 70s parties, it's going to be fucking cool. We got balloons.
Yeah.
And we got...
Neon.
Neon.
Everything.
We got
black lights.
Yes.
And we got other balloons.
Just leave your pants at home.
And more sure. balloons.
Oh,
yeah.
And more balloons. And just letting everybody know, two things. One... It is a nude event, so you are required to be naked the entire time at the event, okay? And two, just let you know, 35 and under, you guys are going to get in for the entire weekend for only $15. That is only five $3 bills.
Yeah.
Three $5 bills.
There, yeah.
Yeah, BYOT, bring your own tent. You can camp pretty much anywhere on
well,
the
and
property.
Towel, too.
And
it's towel.
Said BYOT.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. It goes for both of them. So,
your TT?
Go check out more information at ournakedstory.com.
Mm-hmm.
Look in the summer events tab, and the summer event will be
It should
titled,
be the first thing
yeah,
that pops
it's
up
the
on the
Naked
website.
Nude Summer Bash 2019.
Everything you need to know is on there.
Yeah. Also, guys, make sure you go and check out our podcast on Apple Podcasts,
Google Podcasts,
Google Podcasts,
Spotify,
all that other great shit, and we'll be good to go. So, alrighty. Today, like I said, we have one of our very good friends, Lori Surfer. Surfer? Why do you call me
Surfer?
Can you just change your name to Surfer?
I don't know, it sounds cooler.
We also have support, Becky Kilborn. Now listen, we had her on before, and somehow the entire podcast got deleted. So we're going to give her, like, a second chance, kind of.
Yeah.
But we'll figure it out. It's all right. It's going to be a good episode. So, but yeah. So, Lori, how are you doing today? She gave a thumbs up to the microphone. So,
yeah.
There you go. All right.
I totally just took a drink.
Right.
Sorry.
So this is going to be a verbal conversation.
Wait, is that how this works?
Yeah. So, no hand
gesture.
Anyways. So.
Use your words,
Lori.
I could just spit out my drink on you.
How was your day today?
Very good today. It was a very lovely day here at Olive Del Ranch. Second day? Oh, it was yesterday?
Yesterday was the
first
day of summer.
It was also the first day that ever rained on the first day of summer in a long time.
And Colorado got 2 feet of snow yesterday.
Wow. Yeah. So,
on the first day of summer.
All you people out there, as you can tell, something's going on with the earth. I don't know what you have to do, but fix it because I miss summer. So make sure we're here. We need more global warming.
What about you?
Oh, is it this kind of show?
About, like, no kidding. And the dolphins. You know? Anyways, so Lori, so you actually grew up at Olive Dell Ranch.
Yes.
Is that correct?
I started coming here since I was 3 years old.
Wow.
I was a little baby.
Yeah. So as a child, and I'm talking about strictly like from, let's say, 3 to 8-ish, like before you actually had like any
memory?
Reservations
memory.
About
yeah.
Or
so like do you like how was that growing up as a child, like
well,
was nudity anything
so
to you?
It was no it was just I mean like every little kid wants to run around naked, right? Mm. So I yeah. mean that's something that I no it didn't do anything it didn't mean anything
yeah.
I just ran around completely naked, never thought of any consequences or never thought of being weird about it or anything.
Yeah.
I think, actually, I was probably like that until puberty. So probably like 10 or 11, maybe? I don't know.
You started becoming aware of your
yeah,
body.
Yeah, exactly.
Get embarrassed.
Right. So I feel like I had a lot of friends here growing up and younger, and everybody that reached kind of a puberty age they started wanting to put clothes on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And it just was like kind of a standard with the girls and even the boys, too. It was kind of... You know, anybody younger, but that's the thing is, when you're, like, 3 or 4, you want to run around naked.
Yeah.
I mean, I know Becky's here for moral support, but I know her son was around naked all the time, so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, like, everybody wants to just tear off their clothes and run around naked. We love swimming. I mean, swimming was probably, like, the biggest thing for me.
Yeah.
And, I remember being really young and not being able to swim, so I would just like on the edge like you hold on
just
to the edge
yeah,
of the
hold
pool
on to the edge. Yeah, just hold
and
on.
Just like go even just along the shallow end of the pool until I learned how to swim, and then I became a freaking fish, and then we were like we would hold our breath and like sit on the bottom of the pool and do like tea parties and stuff. Yeah. Yeah,
it's just like the little mermaid.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So do you think that that really getting away from that nudity, do you think that any of that stuff came from like internal within you, as in you started seeing your own body grow into something different, so that's why you're ashamed, or not ashamed but kind of weirded out a little bit, or do you think it was anything that happened outside of the resort?
So that's the thing, is that I wasn't I grew up in the textile world as well, because my mom had custody, and then my dad had part-time custody, so I was up here every other weekend and then every summer. And then in third and fourth grade, I actually lived up here for a year. And to me, it meant freedom being up here and being naked and all that stuff. But it was, I can't tell you, because I was kind of like the younger friend in the group.
Yeah.
If when I started developing, if it was something that I was experiencing of like I need to do it, or everybody else was kind of getting clothed, so I needed to do it too, you know? So I don't know. I actually don't know the answer to that. I mean, it felt everybody else, like I said, it happened to every girl, and almost everybody up here at that time was older than me.
Yeah.
And so they were hitting puberty before me. So we would still enjoy the pool and all that stuff, but as far as like relaxing on the patio, we kind of like hung back, because the patio is obviously a nudist place.
Area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we would hang out in the hills and be derelicts and
looking
deers out there?
I don't want to
be.
Oh my god. I guess we're just old.
No.
Am I the only one that doesn't
you know, like
know
a,
what it is.
Like a bad cedar. No,
heard
like
of
a
bad cedar.
Or like, you know, somebody who stirs up trouble.
Like a troublemaker.
Yeah. Troublemaker.
Oh, so you're lighting fires in the back of the hill.
Yeah,
huh?
Exactly.
Smoking.
Yeah, the funniest story that I ever did, which was so much fun. I don't remember if I was nude during that time, though. But we would, there used to be a shack down in the grove that it was, like...
just that big old shed.
Yeah. Well, my friend and I stole plexiglass, and we went up the hill, and we were sliding down the hill on plexiglass, like a sled, and this was when Pat Kilbourne was alive, and she... And the snack bar had an intercom system, and she yelled at us over the microphone.
Called you out.
Stop doing that, me and my friend. We like sliding down the hill.
That's how it was growing up around here, though. Like, I know. Everybody watched out for you.
Yeah. Yes.
So when my son was the same way, he used to hate it, absolutely hate it. Like, somebody busted him and the kids, like, throwing rocks.
Yeah.
And I was gone through for the day or whatever at work or whatever. When I came home, I had heard about it, and I told him. I was like, so, you guys are throwing rocks, honey. He looked at me like, how did you know you were gone at work all day? Right. You know, like, oh, my God. And I'm like, you don't understand. Yeah. Like, every parent up here, like, you keep an eye on all of the kids and make sure they stay out of trouble.
Which, that's what was cool about growing up here. Mm-hmm. That wasn't what I had growing up with my mom, because my mom was actually very, very strict. So, when I came up here, there was a lot more freedom because all the adults were looking out for the kids.
Yeah.
And not like in a weird way, but they would also look out for, you know, there, to be honest, I mean, there is an occasional creeper that would come up and want to look at the kids, but we felt protected because there was, you know, a group of adults that was looking out for that. So it's, that's something that has always been very nice about Olivedale.
Yeah. That's what we try explaining, especially when we're promoting newest places. You always recommend going to a resort because you have that. It's pretty much security cameras.
You have that community.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, again, you go to Black's Beach or you go to just any place that anybody can go, we can't speak to it and say that nothing bad's going to happen, you know? I mean, it just is what it is. And we don't want to sit here and lie to people and say, oh, yeah, you know, none of that ever happens.
Yes.
Very, very rarely does happen, but when it does, it's protected here at an actual resort.
Yeah.
You know?
Which, and I agree with that 100%, because when I was a kid, I was brought to Black's Beach and Red, White, and Blue Beach, which is not a thing anymore, right? Where was that?
Oh,
I don't even know. Somewhere. And then San Onofre, and that was something that... at the beaches, I had to be around, like, my parent, you know, and around the people that we were with.
Mm-hmm.
And usually it was a group of us going. And, because, the beaches, there's no regulation at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and not to say anything bad about the beaches. I mean, I think that's a great, you know, place to go, but it's almost funny because I feel like new people that are trying to venture into nudism go to the beaches first.
Yeah.
And they really should go to a resort because it's
that's
a safer environment.
That's what the news is actually about.
Yeah.
I feel like you're more apt to get maybe like a negative experience if you do go to like a
free space.
Something like that. And then you're like, oh, never mind. I don't ever want to, you know. And I tell people all the time, I do get people that finally come up and they're like, oh my God, this place is amazing. Like, I didn't know. And I'm like, exactly. That's why I tell them, don't just go to the beaches. Don't just, you know, go to other place. Go to an actual resort so you can see that it's safe, you know.
Are you trying to find where that's at?
Trying to. So at what point did you, because obviously now you're coming back. Let's start from here. At what point did you kind of just leave the entire nudist culture behind you?
So, to be honest, it's always been in my life. So, I've never fully left. There's been other people that I grew up with that, like, won't even come back here, you know? And me, because my dad has consistently lived here, and I have always, it's kind of like growing up, I don't know, I have this theory about this time that I talk about where kids go through puberty, they grew up here, it's like an amazing experience because you're very free when you're young, and then you kind of go through puberty and you want to put on clothes, right? So then I feel like after that time, when you start feeling more comfortable with your body, that's when you get to choose as an adult or as an older teenager, hey, am I still gonna come back and enjoy this nudist lifestyle? And as a, maybe, you know, it's not like just something that your parents brought you to as a young kid. So that's something that I I got married. I met my husband here at Olive Dell. Mm. And so his dad lived here as well. So there was no, like,
oh, wow.
us just, you know, like, getting out of it.
Cutting it out of your life.
Right. There was no just cutting it out of our life. And it wasn't, I never wanted to, because you know what? It always felt like home to me. And it was something that, it was because it was a second home, and it was because of how I was raised. I was, like, really strict growing up with my mom, and then here, I had a lot of freedom, so I still associated it very positively, coming back to Olive Dell.
Because of more of the actual freedom part.
Yeah,
so not just being able to walk around.
Correct. Yeah. That's just a bonus. Well, so, and plus, I really like to swim naked.
So, I know that, so a lot of people are afraid, like, bringing their kids here, that it's kind of going to mess with them as an actual child themselves. Do you feel like you had any, like, any negative stuff growing up with kids, even outside of this resort? Even though you were growing up in a nudist household, did you have any conflicts at school or anything?
So that's the thing, is that I don't remember at what point in my life, at a young age, I decided not to share this part of my life.
Yeah.
I was kind of like living a double life. Yeah. And I knew, I don't know why, that's the thing is, I don't know why I felt so like embarrassed by it, or I felt like it's just because it was something different, I think.
Well, every other kid probably wasn't doing it.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, I knew at a young age, and I only shared it with very, very close friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I was living two lives. I was living the life with my mom, and I was living the life with my dad. Mm-hmm. And then I remember a specific time, I think it was in seventh grade, one of the kids from my school came up here with his family.
Oh,
shit.
And
random?
It was so random, and we both were, like, looking at each other going,
oh,
shit.
You guys already passed that stage of, like, oh, I've already been to puberty, I don't want to do it.
It's probably during that stage.
Well, so that's, it was during that stage, but even during that stage when I was up here, if it was a nice weekend, I would still go in the pool.
Yeah.
Like, it was, I just would, you know, kind of cover up as soon as I got out, I'd put a towel on or, you know, whatever. And, but, yeah, he came up, saw me naked. It was a thing. Like, he kind of, like, not really blackmailed me, but kind of.
What? But he was up here, too.
He wrote a letter and like, put it in my mailbox where I lived at my mom's.
Like,
yeah. And he's like, you know, basically, you better not tell or I will kind of. Situation
yeah.
And
you should have wrote the same letter.
I know, and I was like, oh my god. And it freaks me out because at that point I really hadn't told anybody. And I think when I was probably about 15 or 16, that's when I started telling friends. And everyone was like, we get the standard questions of like, wait. They're like, wait, what? And most people are super open to it, but you know what's the funniest question is, I'll tell them that the kitchen's here, the restaurant, and they're like, do they cook naked?
Yeah, right.
Oh no, my favorite is always, well, what do you do when it gets cold?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
dude,
we get that question all the time.
So
we're like, we're not stupid.
That was my exact response. I always say, we're not stupid.
Yeah.
Okay,
like,
we're nudists, we're not
do
stupid.
What do you do when you need to go to the store? Like, well, I just take my pants off. And
yeah.
Just store
yeah.
You know, what everybody else does. Yeah. So do you think that growing up in a nudist, well, at least on this side, growing up in that nudist, like, household, do you think that helped you out in the real world at all? As far as kind of accepting people and knowing that what you see in the magazines, what you see on the commercials, like that,
well, like,
that's not really the real thing, you know?
I think that it has made me one of the most open-minded people. Like, and that's something that you could tell me anything and I'm not going to be like all, oh my God, like, you know, and that's something, or I might be, but it's still going to be like, that's cool that you do that, you know, but it's kind of like alarming, you know, but it's more accepting and it's open-minded and it's something that I've noticed a lot of people don't have that.
Yeah.
And, I do feel like, well, in even me telling people, now I'll tell people. I'm just, like, really open about it now that I come up here.
Yeah.
And it's kind of amusing because now I want to hear all their crazy questions right? that they ask. Yeah. And then I try and get everybody to come up here because I'm like, it's so normal once you actually get up here. Mm-hmm. It's just, people don't realize like how, like, it's just normal.
Yeah.
You know? And it's not weird. People aren't, you know, like, doing it in the corner.
Yeah.
Like, that's what a lot of people will just assume mm-hmm. about. And I'm like, no, it's a family nudist resort.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not, it's true. Just people just want to be naked. Yeah. That's it. Yeah.
So I was telling you, I was like, I think in America, we're so repressed, and most are, like, being naked, your first experience is usually sexual. Mm-hmm. So that's why, like, your brain automatically goes there. But once you're here and you see what it is, you're just like, oh, yeah, this is cool. I was like, it's not for everybody, but once you're here and you experience it, you fall in love with it.
Yes. It's true. And so this is something that has got me over the past 6 months or so. I've been starting to realize that I'm like, my first naked experience wasn't sexual.
Yeah.
You know, so exactly. I'm kind of like, how has that like impacted me? You know, like it's kind of interesting to internalize and think about of like, wow, like my sexuality came later and in a different way of not nudist, you know, not being naked.
Yeah.
And that's something that I don't know. It's a weird, it's kind of an interesting thing to think about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and also kind of piggybacking on like that topic as well, I feel, and it's kind of a problem that I don't know how to actually solve it, but if you try, I don't know, even if you just research like what nudist is, there's so much stuff that pops up that is not what nudism is about.
Yes.
So if somebody's trying to go there for the first time and they type up nudism, you can see stuff on a porn website. You can see stuff for a swingers website.
Yeah.
And then people are all these terms and stuff is really what's conflicting it. So you have the nudist and the nudist movement, and you have like nudism. Those are pretty much the two main ones that actually do what we do. We just hang out with each other naked. That's all it is. Then people are now starting to bring into the exhibitionist. Oh, yeah, I'm a nudist and an exhibitionist.
Yeah.
They don't go together.
Yeah. Right.
I'm a nudist and I'm a swinger.
Yeah.
You can be a nudist and you can be a swinger, but those two don't go together. And that's what I feel like that's what people need to start understanding. And that's one of the reasons why we want to start doing this podcast. It's, well, we've already done it. But this is kind of what we want to start implementing into people is you got to remember that there are different categories. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the same thing for pretty much anything that you do in life.
Yeah.
You know, even as rock climbers, there's bouldering, then there's sport climbing, and there's trad climbing. They're three completely different things, but it's all still technically
rock climbing.
One thing. You know what I mean? So, yeah, you're naked, but there's different ways you can be naked.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So,
absolutely. And that's, I think there is a place for swingers clubs because, like you said, like here we have a safe environment. So a swingers club has a safe environment for swingers. But that's definitely, it's what it is. Mm-hmm. You know, here is definitely a family nudist resort. And I feel like that's what I love about this environment.
Yeah.
And it's not, you know, it is separate things. If you're a nudist, you're a nudist. You just want to be comfortable taking off your clothes.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. So do you think, and it kind of, I think this might be one of my last questions. So obviously your dad is one of our favorite people in the entire world.
Uh-huh.
He's probably the coolest, chillest person you'll ever meet in your entire life. And if you ever do, or when you do come and visit Olivedale, I'm sure you'll see him. You'll know exactly who he is. But anyways, do you think that living here made you guys have a better relationship at all? Because I know you guys have like matching tattoos. I know you visit him a lot. I know you guys have this connection.
We
just
have,
I
don't know if it has to do with me living here, but no. I think that, yes, it probably does because that's shaped the human being I am.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, I have a close relationship with both of my parents, and it's something that I think it's because I am very open-minded and forgiving with them as well. I mean, no parent is perfect either. Mm-hmm. So... yeah, until your kid gets to be a teenager.
Good point. Because we forget that we need to be the same. Like, we expect so much from our parents, but we need to have, like, the same attitude when our parents come to us and make a mistake.
Well, and that's another thing is my dad has always been super open-minded with me. And it that's something that, growing up here, his... kind of, I want to say hippie mentality, but his kind of, you know, environment, laid back. With that training and being here, I just feel like it's like I have become the most open-minded person ever. And it's just, I don't know, I appreciate all of Dell being in my life, and I always have. And it's always felt like home to me.
Yeah.
And so I still come back. And even when, I mean, as an adult, I don't know if I'm convinced that I'm a nudist. Mm-hmm. But I also do enjoy the environment and being here. And I love swimming naked and being in the hot tub naked. And, you know, that's, I would prefer that.
Mm-hmm.
So it is something, it's just different because growing up here, it was not like, as an adult, I made a decision. Hey, I feel like I want to be in this lifestyle.
Yeah.
I've just always been in this lifestyle. So it's kind of, you know, this is what I know.
Yeah.
And I appreciate it because, and I think that a lot of people should try it at least once in their lives. Have it be a bucket list item if they want.
No, that's why I tried getting it. I don't understand it. Like, it's so frustrating. Because I know how happy I am.
Mm-hmm.
And like I was telling you guys earlier, like, with my brother and everything, he probably's not listening to this shit, so whatever. but I don't know. It's just like, I'm so fulfilled right now. And it's not just because we're here. It's what this place has to offer, what it implants inside of you, that makes you go out into the real world, that I like to call it, beyond these gates, and just try sharing that to absolutely everybody else in the world. Because I feel if everybody has the same mindset as me, and not saying that, like, I'm perfect or anything like that, or, like, I have the best mindset.
You just said you were perfect.
I just feel like if everybody can enjoy this, even a sliver of the happiness that I experience every single day,
mm-hmm.
I feel like it would make the world really that much of a better place.
Yeah.
And, it's not necessarily, like, being naked, like, in the whole grand scheme of all of it, being naked is such a small part of it. It's not just about being naked.
It's
the
people
you meet. It's the entire lifestyle of everybody around here. It's everybody helping each other out. It's everybody complimenting each other. It's everybody just being
It's the community.
Person, you know?
Well, and it's true. So this is something that I've always loved ever since I was a little. Some person kind of explained nudism to me, but kind of we were talking about nudism, and it was, you know, you could be a plumber talking to a lawyer and you would never know.
Exactly.
You're getting to know people on a human level instead of their status in life, know? And you are more open to be like, wow, that person kind of looks like a bum, you know?
Yeah.
You don't get that because you're both stripped down to your existence. Mm-hmm. And and I always just love that about this lifestyle.
I just found out that those people we just met is a nurse and an engineer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, dude.
Yeah.
But, and, you know, and it's, like, everybody, it's not just some, like, hippies living in this, like, cult, you know, corner of the world.
Yes.
They're real people, dude. Like, they're really out there.
Yeah.
They're fucking, you go to the gas station, they're the person pumping gas right next to you, you know?
Or they're doctors, or...
Absolutely.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Like, you need all those jobs.
Right, and that's...
But you don't need to know that, like, right away when you look at a person.
Right, yeah. But that's the thing is those people can still connect on an intellectual level,
exactly.
And it just strips down...
Status.
It strips down the status, and it's funny because you kind of think of nudism as well. People get really self-conscious about their body, but that's another thing that I feel like it breaks down, because
mm-hmm.
there's so many different shapes, sizes, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, everybody looks different, you know? And that's something that is kind of really cool to experience.
Yeah.
And to see. And it's not that I'm, like, the most confident person in the freaking world.
Well,
I'm not.
Yeah, she is. Let's be honest.
No, I...
She walk around with her chest and she's all...
Whatever. I grew, you know? It took a while. I was very insecure, actually, for a long time. And it wasn't... I was always kind of like, where did that come from? Because I don't... But it was still... Like I said, I grew up half in textile world and half in nudism world, and so I got both sides of it, and there was still, it just, you have to, that's my biggest thing, is that somebody needs to just come up and experience it once, at least once, give it a chance. It's not weird, you know, it's not, like, sexual, it's freeing,
mm-hmm.
and that's, most people... will come up here and be like, I met the nicest people, you know, it was so open, welcoming.
Yeah, that's the best time.
Yeah, most people's experience.
Yeah.
And
that's what I think.
And I read something like in Silk Is it, what's SCNA? Southern California
Nature Association.
They have a like, kind of like a guidebook from a female's perspective. It's all these stories from females. And, like, one that, like, really, like...
resonated with
you. Yeah, exactly. There you go. She's like, I still sometimes struggle. Like, I'm a nudist.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I still sometimes struggle getting naked and, like, going to these events because you always struggle with your image and your body issues. And
yes, like, not absolutely.
Like, not, like, every single day I'm like, oh, yeah, like, I'm just gonna go get naked and I feel good and, like, I'm gonna have a good time. Like, you know, you're not always feeling your best.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, once you're here and, like, you have the people around you with the support, you're just like, okay, it's not even a thing.
Yes, but absolutely.
It's, like, it's in your head.
It's in your head.
Absolutely. And that's something, too, is another funny thing about when I was younger was somebody was kind of like, well, just imagine, you know, you're naked in front of a bunch of people who are clothed, right? Or you're clothed in front of a bunch of people who are naked.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to feel odd
yes.
being the odd man out. Like, it's true. And it is true.
You stand out more.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I try to explain that to people.
I know.
Yeah.
All the time. Like, you don't understand. Plus, and people that have never done this, I tell them all the time, first off the bat, it's not what you're going to expect.
Yeah.
I can guarantee you, whatever you have in your mind, whatever you're thinking, whatever weird thing that you've heard about nudists or people that do, you know what I mean? I can guarantee you, when you come up here for the very first time, you're going to leave here going, wow, it's not what I thought.
Yeah.
Because it's not.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And every person that has ever come up here, I've had a old family friend, known her for years and years and years, and she, oh, I could never do that. I could never do that. Never, never, never.
Yeah.
She lives here now.
Nice. Yeah.
She lives here. You know, I mean, you can't make that determination just on what other people say with anything.
Yeah.
I don't make that determination about a movie, for God's sake. I won't say, oh, I'm not going to go see that movie because so-and-so said it sucked or so-and-so, you know what I mean? I want to go make that determination for myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to see it for myself.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
That's what people should do. All
right. Listen, people, we're not fucking with you, all right?
Just try it.
Just try it. Just come here for an hour. Give it an hour.
A real hour.
Not like, hiding in the cabin.
Yeah.
2.5. That's how long it takes to love this place.
2.5 hours. Maybe an hour by the cabin, an hour in the common area.
Okay, let's do this. 2.5 hours, okay? Do an hour at the cabin or wherever you're staying.
Get comfortable.
Get comfortable. Have a drink. Yeah. Then give it a full 100% effort, hour and a half. An hour.
In the common area.
We're doing an hour. All right? In the common area.
Get naked.
If you don't like it, go home, and I'll give you your money back. I'm not in charge of that.
That's like Fernando's guarantee.
Yeah, I'll give you $5 if you don't like it.
I'll give you $5 if you don't like it.
But, guys, just come check it out.
Just do it.
That'd be cool. All right, see you, Lori.
Lori's all peace out.
Should we pause it?
No, it's the whole freeing aspect.
Yeah.
Even if you're not, like, a people person, because there's a lot of people that come up and they're, like, they're not real sociable, so they don't want to hang out. You know what? That's cool. I guarantee you're going to have a good time if you're going to go for a hike.
Yeah.
Just be by yourself. Just out there by yourself, naked, outside.
In nature.
You're going to be like, fuck, why the hell haven't I done this before?
It's amazing.
You're going to enjoy it.
I just feel so bad for all these people.
That don't know. I know,
I really
right?
Do.
It's like,
I really do. Like, there's people, and they're sitting there at their fucking shitty jobs, and all day they're just like, oh, this motherfucking boss, and they're typing on their computer, and they're, like, breaking their goddamn keyboard. Dude, and then, like, I do that, but then I come home. Like, literally, the moment I'm off of work, I'm at home, and I'm just like, dude, everything is totally fine.
Yep.
Actually, I'm even at work. I'm like, fuck this person. I'm about to be home in a little bit. It's going to be fine. It's not that big of a deal.
You brought it up recently. You're like, this has helped me in the the outside world.
It has, dude.
Because you're like, this is not important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
this doesn't matter.
No.
I'm gonna go home, take my pants off, and have a good time.
And have a good time.
Dude, it's I don't know, man. It just, I feel bad. Just give it a shot. And I know that most people that listen to this, they've already given it a shot. They're just trying to experience a bit more of it. But I really hope that you guys go and tell your friends.
Yeah.
Hey. How about this? Just tell them to listen to the podcast and listen to all these people that we've talked to and see it's the same story over and over and over again. Yeah,
different experiences.
Different experiences, but it's the same ending oh yeah, I'm still doing the nudist thing. I'm still here. I'm still coming back. It's just, I don't know. Just give it a shot. Santa Cruz, by the way, is where Red, White, and Blue Beach was.
I saw that.
You're welcome. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So this place is no longer a nudist beach.
Due to the second, oh, I was going to say the second one. It said from 1972 until, but then it didn't say.
It says keep out. It's the first picture.
All right. Red, White, and Blue Beach was once a popular clothing optional beach and campground north of Santa Cruz, but it was closed down by the property owners. Okay.
2008.
And advertisement.
It said 2008. Yeah.
2008. Unfortunately, until the current owners have a change of heart or the California Coastal Commission steps in to restore access. Red, White, and Blue Beach will be one of the beaches you'll never see in California. It's a shame because this is a large sandy beach located on the mouth of the creek that created the cove eons ago. The beach is gorgeous with vertical sandstones, walls at both ends. A lagoon forms in the cove and was once a good bird watching spot. So you would think that California. Are you guys going anywhere later? Can we still talk about this beach? Is that cool?
We can still talk about this beach.
Anyways.
No, I peed, so we're good.
So, but you would think that California is the one of the. Yeah, it's one of the sunniest places in the world.
Yeah.
And we have one nude beach in Southern California and one in Northern California.
No, which I think there's more.
So I've been to one in Northern California.
Pirates Cove?
I think it might have been Pirates
Cove.
Pirates
Cove. That's
is
like
weird.
Central California.
It's super cool. It's really beautiful. But it's also up north, so it's super gloomy all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
well,
there's
I don't know. When I went, it was
gloomy.
Actually really nice.
But sometimes it's...
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, maybe I just went the weird time.
Yeah, it was...
But the weird thing, and I don't know if maybe you noticed it, or maybe it was only the experience that I went to. Another reason I'm not a big fan of open spaces was, you know, there's... So you go down the beach, you're on that little... Because it's just a small little sliver.
Mm-hmm.
And then up in the corner, there's, like, those hills that people stand up there. You know? Dude, people are totally there with binoculars. Like, dude, it's all dudes down here. You're not going to
well,
see
that,
anything.
Yeah.
There.
That's the thing about beaches, is that anybody with clothing can come through and stroll and be kind of a creeper.
Well, like blacks, but you have to be, like, really determined to, like, go down to blacks.
You gotta want it.
Yeah.
You have to want it.
How hard
unless you're hang gliding.
How hard would it be to buy a beach? Does that make sense? I know it sounds stupid, but...
You're gonna buy a beach now?
I thought they were all public, or is that just in Hawaii?
Well, think about it. Carnival
it
Cruise.
Is a public beach, but it's, like... I don't know what makes it where it's sanctioned as clothing optional or whatever. They just don't do anything about it. Yeah, it's
technically
it's
legal.
It's not a legal beach.
Yeah, exactly.
Legal nude beach.
I don't think there's any legal nude beaches in California.
Well, that I loved San Onofre. Like,
yeah,
when it was
San Onofre was amazing.
Yeah, and it's bummed me out when that didn't.
I feel like.
I hate that we have to walk down a bunch of steps to actually get naked at a beach.
Have you ever been there? Have you ever been to Black's Beach?
Nope.
Yeah.
You ever been to anywhere besides here?
Nope. I've been to other resorts.
What other resorts have you gone to?
I've been up to Laguna del Sol. We've been to De Anza. We've been to Glen Eden.
Mm-hmm.
For business or for...
Pleasure.
Yeah.
Well, we were there for... Laguna, we were up there for a wedding.
Oh, okay.
So since we were there...
Were you not here with the Laguna del Sol when we made the raft? When I was a kid?
I was not.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Off having babies.
So
the Laguna del Sol is in...
It's Sacramento.
It's Northern California outside of Sacramento.
It's a beautiful
it's
resort.
A
they have a lake.
Beautiful resort.
Yeah.
They have a lake.
Yeah.
Yeah, they
and
have...
They have hammocks and
trees. They are
it's
very, very
green.
Nice resort. Yeah.
They call it
the
nudist
back when... Back...
On the internet.
Everywhere.
I must have been, 12 or 13, maybe? They did where a bunch of the resorts made rafts.
Sorry.
A bunch of the resort made rafts and then brought them up there and then they did like a race with
what?
The rafts.
Yeah
so
cool.
It was freaking amazing because we actually built the raft in the pool here at Olive Del Ranch and, you know, got it all floating and we got it all set up and then a group of us went up there. Me and my really good friend.
To race your raft?
Yeah, and it was funny because we didn't, like, put a motor on it or anything.
Yeah.
So here I am as, like, a 12-year-old kid, and, like, my friends next to me were, like, pushing this raft with people just swimming through the lake. It was amazing.
You don't need a motor. You're the motor.
We're the motor. Yeah. Human-powered.
That's how it was when we were kids, though.
Yeah.
You always did stuff like that and went to other resorts.
We did,
Treehouse. Deer Creek, you know, Deep or Deer Creek now, but it used to be Treehouse when we were kids.
Yeah.
And that's what you did. Like, a whole group of people, like, we would do something, and then, oh, this weekend, everybody would go over to Treehouse, you know, yeah, and do whatever activity. Or then we would all go to Glen Eden, and we would do, yeah, you know, that's how, even when I was a kid, right, it was the same concept. Right. You know, we were all, like, intertwined, yeah, with each other, because, yeah, we all have this same goal in mind, mm-hmm, is for everybody to be naked.
Go back to that.
We need to go back, yeah, to that. I totally agree.
Well, and it
agree.
Was great. You talk about, like, community and stuff, and growing up in, like, an environment where, mm-hmm, it's, like, it's really a community. And they got all the kids together, and they would pack them all up and go to the beach, or go to another resort, or even go, yeah, to other places, like the skating rink or Magic Mountain, yeah, or, you, yeah, know, like, stuff, yeah, like that, too. It was really fun.
They have a summer camp. Well, I think it's Glen Eden has a summer camp.
Well, actually, Anner West used to do one. We actually hosted it one year.
Maybe it is Anner West.
Quite a few, yeah, years ago, because Cheyenne was still young, yeah, when we hosted it here. And that's what they do. They usually have clubs. Each club will host it, is how they... I don't know how popular it is now, because, like I said, it's been a couple of, yeah, years. But that was, it was the same concept as they do for, like, their conventions and stuff, is they, yeah, get a resort to host it or whatever, and then they have... Mm-hmm. You know, have it there, so.
Fucking get rid of your, it's kids important, for a couple weeks. Yes. There you go.
And I think that's how you get the kids back into the community.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You need to, like, have stuff that they're involved in.
Yeah, because all those nerds are like, oh, remember that one time at band camp? Like, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think our biggest struggle with that we didn't have back in the day is the technology. Mm-hmm. You know, when we were all kids, I mean, of course, you guys were way fucking younger than
I'm
me,
still
but.
A kid.
When we were kids, you know, you didn't have, you know, yeah, we had Pong on the video, you know, that was our,
yeah,
video game.
Yeah.
You didn't sit in the, you didn't sit inside playing video games.
Yeah. Yeah.
You were fucking gone.
Yeah.
You know,
you were sliding down a plexiglass,
yeah,
on a,
exactly,
hill.
So during the week, when we got home from school, you were playing, but on the weekends, we loaded up in the car and we came here, mm-hmm, threw, yeah, off your clothes, and then you were gone for the whole, you know, I mean, yeah, that's what you did as kids. And just nowadays, it's just... so not like that.
Technology.
You know what I mean? The technology. And then now you have these helicopter parents that don't want their kids, mm-hmm, to, you know, it's like, oh my God, where are you at? You know.
Well,
so.
That's what I loved probably the most is up here, there was no helicopter
parents. There were no helicopter parents.
You know, my dad just needed to know where I was. He needed,
like,
if I was at the pool, like, it was important to have,
like,
an adult or whatever, yeah, you know, to make sure I didn't drown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Every, like I said, all the parents. Dude, my brother.
Is it weird that I don't remember the donkeys when I was a kid?
I don't remember them either.
I know.
Dude, my brother broke his collarbone riding his bike down this hill right here going to the volleyball court. He was fucking pedaling like crazy, broke his collarbone. We're having a great time. It's a party weekend, of course, because it's all,
yeah,
Adele, you know. So the parents are like, here, take a sip of, like, you know, margarita or whatever,
yeah,
and you'll be okay.
Oh,
we'll take you to the hospital tomorrow, you know.
Yeah,
okay,
parents,
fuck it up. Go to the cabin and lay down and go to sleep.
Jesus.
Oh, yeah. Now we're talking about certain kind of parenting stuff.
The donkeys were not...
They were not here.
No, they were not.
Freaking weird.
We did not have... the population of the donkeys
they
that we
transported
have.
Them in the aliens.
Bob
Barker.
I know, isn't that crazy?
Built a fucking.
Yeah.
Is he building it or he built it?
He donated for them to build,
yeah,
it. Yeah. He's the one that donated the money for them to buy that property.
But somebody was saying there's a donkey around here that has an arrow in its head.
Oh, they already took care of that.
Oh,
that
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
They found him.
He's
good.
Yeah.
He's
right. He walked it off.
I also don't shoot bone arrows anymore. But, whatever.
That's another story.
Yeah. Dude, but these donkeys around here are fucking crazy. There's one.
They're crazy.
The donkeys and the people are both crazy,
uh-huh,
on this road. There's,
yes,
people that are driving 1,000 miles per hour. And these donkeys are fucking either retarded or something.
They don't know. They don't give
jump.
A rat's ass.
Yeah, they don't care.
That's,
yeah,
their
right
problem.
In front of the road. Dude, there's this one. He's sitting there eating grass. And he just, like, spasmed out and just jumped in front of him. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? Slamming your brakes and shit? God,
my
dude.
Dad's hit a donkey.
Yeah. Well, fuck your car up.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah.
He was in his Jeep Wrangler, and one side was all bashed in and has,
yeah,
lost a mirror and everything. Yeah.
So if you're driving up here, just...
Be careful.
Keep
your eyes open.
The speed limit's 50 miles per hour.
But
go,
come up here.
40. Yeah, go up here.
Well, they're neat to watch.
Yeah.
They're cute, and the babies are so cute.
Yeah.
They're actually really adorable.
I swear to God, I saw it the day it was born. because Kimel was still all wet and shit.
Oh.
Oh, dude. There's that was
so
weird.
Many babies.
So that's like, what I think the problem is with the donkeys, babies. Though, is that, hey, people, don't feed the donkeys.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, because now they...
cars
they,
with food. Yeah.
Yeah, they'll just come up to your freaking window. They don't care. They're like,
no, they don't care.
Hey, you got food for me?
Yeah. So, don't get me wrong, they're
yeah.
cool.
Yeah.
They are yeah. cool. I told...
Your daughter got... bit or
she got kicked.
She got kicked on her ankle. Yeah, yeah. Oh, she went down yeah. the hill. When
bad.
It was after luau, we used to have our big luau's, and so we had all this leftover, you know, the rinds from the watermelon
oh,
and
yeah.
all that stuff. And so we would take it in the golf cart down to the bottom of the hill and then dump it so that the donkeys would eventually find it.
Well, oh, it's your fault. The donkeys
decided,
are down there.
Like,
she decided, oh, this was years ago. So she decided she was going to go down there and just kind of like, oh,
yeah.
hey, donkeys here, look. And yeah, and one of them kicked her ankle. So. I'm like, well,
that's when there was like
should...
five donkeys.
Yeah,
and now there's
exactly.
like hundreds.
That was back when there was
yeah.
five, and now we literally have hundreds.
Those things, they can take a beating. I've seen
yeah.
them get hit by a car, get up, and
oh,
just
yeah.
like,
yeah.
fuck
he's
this
like,
car.
Yeah.
It's like a fly hits you in the face.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Car, I find it ironic, though, because, you know, we have Donkeyland, which is what Bob Barker donated to.
Yeah.
That's is that what it's
okay.
called?
It's called Donkeyland, which is what they're, you know, they're here. If any donkeys get hurt, they rehabilitate them, and then, okay, and put them back in the wild. Okay, I understand that. But why is it that everybody makes such a big deal about spaying and neutering your dog or your cat, but these donkeys, I can't drive down the road without seeing four or five
exactly.
pregnant ones.
Yeah.
So that's the problem. So they're multiplying like crazy. And so, yeah, they're getting bigger. The herds are getting big, and they're going farther and farther down the
down
canyon
the
now. I've lived in this canyon for 20 years now.
Yeah.
I have never seen them down by the hitching post.
Well,
now they're down past the hitching
actually,
post.
Actually, if you go the other way towards Moreno
and
Valley, I've seen them
now
in
they're
the
in Sunny
area.
Ranch. Yeah.
That's what freaked me out when I saw them in Moreno Valley,
yeah.
and they're on the freaking sidewalk.
Yeah.
No,
and
I
I'm like...
I saw that all the time.
I
was just like, dude.
Stater Brothers.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. They're
right.
yeah, they're
so
crazy.
I've been trying to get this real story for a while. So here's the actual story.
Okay.
So a remote rescue facility for donkeys and wild burros got help from a helping hand from a famous animal lover. Donkeyland, a 30-acre reserve for wild burros near Moreno Valley where donkeys and burros can be rehabilitated and be protected from getting hit by cars, received a donation of nearly 500 nearly acres.
Today on Father's Toolbox, we're going to be talking.
I was like, that's going to play at some point.
I saw
talking about the importance of
father
involvement in the children's
Press
education. Not the importance
father's
of the father's
shoebox.
Who cares? All right, sorry. From none other than Bob Barker. The price is fucking right, dude.
Yeah.
Bob Barker, the former The Price is Right host, would not say how much he spent on the land. I think it's money well spent. Barker
He's 94.
Said.
I totally
I'm
thought he was dead, by the way.
Barker, 94 years old, is a longtime animal activist. He used to sign off on Price is Right by urging people
to get their pets spayed or neutered.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
I remember that.
Why don't we do that with our donkeys?
Yeah. Well, okay. Now let's put it this way. So when you have a dog or a cat, right? That's your pet. Now I'm not. Sorry, I'm trying to look at the comments because I love people just fighting. But do you think that it's our place to actually spay and neuter a wild animal that's growing its own acres?
I think if it's saving it, yeah,
they're
because they're overpopulating. That's
yeah.
our
and
problem.
And they have no natural predator.
There's no natural predators
so
here with the exception of now the cars.
Yeah.
Or people
you know what
that
I mean?
Shoot
I'm not
bone
saying
arrows.
That all, yeah, the shoot bone arrows. I think they should. They should. They need to limit it at the very least.
Yeah, just to save the actual species.
Just to
so,
save the actual species, because
okay.
when we have a small herd, the chance of them getting hit by a car obviously is a lot smaller.
Correct.
Well, now this same herd has now multiplied by. I mean, and I'm talking hundreds and hundreds
yeah.
and hundreds of donkeys
yeah.
now that are in this. And this canyon is only, what, 6 miles long? You know, six
yeah.
or 7 miles long?
Yeah.
It's not a long canyon. And more, you see all the houses going up
mm-hmm.
outside of the canyon.
Mm-hmm.
The roads are just, every road is getting jam-packed with cars. So, to me, it is literally a serious accident waiting to happen
That's
on
exactly.
a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, it is.
Because you...
There
I,
has been serious.
Yeah,
accident.
And it has
yeah.
been. There have been
yeah.
numerous... So,
when, I,
you know.
When I moved here and I changed my address, my auto insurance went up $100.
Yeah.
Just
like,
for living in the
right.
canyon?
For living in the
you
canyon.
Know
right.
We know you're going to hit a donkey, so we want to be prepared.
Like, what the fuck? Like.
Okay. Now.
God,
I always want to make sure that I start off with nice, clean hair.
Me too. That woman is bald, by the way, that just
She's
said that.
Oh, that one has hair.
There we go.
That one doesn't have hair.
She's the hairstylist.
Okay, that's the thing. Okay, listen. You should not trust a barber who has, one, no hair,
okay,
two, a ponytail. Now, I'm sorry. If you have a ponytail,
he hates people with ponytails.
And no, it's not that I don't hate them.
Really
I just don't trust them.
He doesn't
I don't
trust.
Know. I've
He's like, never trust a guy with a ponytail.
What about a man bun?
No. Well, I don't know.
You have totally worn your hair in a man bun. Look at your
never.
Face.
No.
No,
he has not. I respect him too much for that.
Yeah. I put my hair in a man bun when I have to cut my hair. That's
See?
All you have to do.
Told you.
Okay. He doesn't walk around with it.
Fuck, what was the same thing? Yeah. Anyway, don't trust people with ponytails. I'm sorry.
If you're with...
Bald.
Heads.
Only dudes
with, bald
with ponytails?
Dudes with ponytails,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, chicks, whatever.
We have to clarify a little.
She does her hair, this new thing she's doing, she puts like two little buns like on the top of her head.
Cute.
Dude,
like Minnie
so
Mouse.
Cute, yeah.
You're just adorable.
I'm so cute.
What was I going to say about the donkeys?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. Hear me out, okay? And I'm not just saying this because I'm a little drunk. But
yes.
Okay, I'm
speaking of,
serious.
I need another drink.
Has anybody eaten a donkey?
No, but I know as soon as that zombie apocalypse comes, I keep telling everybody that's okay. We're all good. Look at all the meat we have out there,
yeah.
Man.
So what? Okay.
Look
so
at all the humans you have up here.
Jesus.
Maury.
That was dark.
Okay, Maury's not coming to my house for the zombie apocalypse. Okay. Jeez.
All right, no, but hear me out. Okay, so when they have a deer population overload, or whatever they call it.
Overpopulation
well,
of a
so
yeah.
That's what I mean is
they
have
they
hunting
they
season,
hunt
yeah.
So yeah, it's open season on.
I don't know if anybody's ever eaten donkeys.
I'm sure somebody
anybody,
has.
I think they do in Mexico.
If any of the listeners are maybe eating donkeys.
Well, they do a lot of weird things to donkeys in Mexico.
That's true.
Sorry, I didn't go there.
Come on, Lori.
I'm not going to go there.
Babies, but what if that did help it? Because not only are you helping humans eat, but you're also helping put down the population, and that's
yeah.
kind of what hunting really is.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Some of
yeah,
the
absolutely.
Most extreme environmentalists are actually hunters. You know,
yeah.
they want the environment to be how it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And when you have overpopulation, stuff like this really does happen. Especially when you mix humans and animals, people's cars get messed up. People actually can
get
really
get killed.
Hurt. Yeah.
People have gotten
when
killed.
You hit
yeah.
a donkey, dude, it's almost like hitting a semi truck. Like
yeah.
they're that powerful.
Those
creatures.
Things are.
They're huge.
Yeah, they're huge.
You know. So, but what if they really did implement like a hunting season for donkeys, you know?
Well, and that's the thing that they do with deer and stuff,
yeah.
and elk and everything. They'll give
yeah.
you a tag for how many that they assume is the overpopulation.
Mm-hmm.
So they only give a certain amount out, like 100 a year,
yeah.
you know, whatever it is. And so, I don't know. But that's the thing is, I'm trying to, like, actually think if, like, I've had donkey meat or have heard of that. I don't think I have.
Yeah.
Hey,
I don't
you
know.
Have a... You,
oh,
know.
You have
you have your little Duh. Google machine right there.
No. We had kangaroo, though, so, I mean, maybe it's the...
We did have
know.
Kangaroo.
Yeah.
Everybody's sad by that, by the way.
I know.
And I was like, it's Becky that ordered it.
This is where we're trying to hire somebody to do with the computer work, so I can keep talking and then...
Gotcha.
Okay. All right,
then
me... Wait, I'm pissed.
Italians don't eat donkeys.
Italians
I'm glad we established
donkeys.
That.
Like, no, yeah, let's see. Donkey deli. The meat can be found at delis or supermarkets as well. However, according to Peroni, Italians don't. If you live in the U.S., finding a restaurant or a supermarket with donkey meat available is much more challenging. So they don't have it in America.
So they have it, apparently.
Somewhere. Oh, here we go. Modern farmer. Okay, let's do this,
this
one. Is donkey
podcast
goody?
Took a weird turn.
Although you may not think it, horse and donkey dietary requirements are very different. Donkeys love to gaze all day, but
no,
we
this
eat
is,
everything in sight.
This is
them
talking
eating.
About them eating.
Oh,
not that
okay,
not us eating them.
All right, here we go.
All right.
Donkey.
People eat horse.
Oh, my gosh.
Might be
dude,
Chinese
people
eat donkeys.
I know, I saw that, too.
Racist.
Oh,
so racist.
Dude. Okay, did you guys... Okay.
Why you should eat a donkey. A conversation
with
Andrew Zimmerman.
There you go.
Andrew Zimmerman. Is that the guy for Facebook?
That's what I was just
going to
say.
No!
Like, right? That's the same last
Zuckerberg!
Name.
Zuckerberg!
All right, here we go.
Andrew
I was just
going to
say.
Best known for eating things like bats.
Oh, it's that guy.
He's the,
fish.
Like,
yeah.
food
He's
devil.
The
Bizarre Foods.
On the Travel Channel, where he travels the world to eat exotic dishes. But Zimmerman is also is a thinker and something of a food activist. I sat down with him. Okay, come on. We just fucking remember about the donkeys.
I know, right?
Oh, here we go. Having eaten all these exotic things, is there anything in the U.S. that we should open our minds to? Things we don't normally eat. Tons. We could start with my favorite food that isn't eaten here, which is donkey. This is an animal that grows to maturity quickly, is a very forgiving eater, easy to raise, a disease-resistant species, and is delicious. You wouldn't be able to tell the difference between it and veal, which is...
Really? Baby cow.
Veal, yeah. Except baby that it's cow. Better... It's, oh, he said it's better than veal. Veal. It is a fantastic, absolutely delicious. We live in a day and age where we need to expand our food choices out of necessity because we're strange... We're strangling the systems that are producing chicken, pork, and beef, and we're only eating salmon.
New burger at Olive Dill, donkey burger.
Oh my gosh. You should just name a burger that here.
Dude, honestly, okay, I know it sounds a little far-fetched. It's really not, I don't think it's that crazy, though.
No, I don't think it is.
They're really...
Read the next one. We have a it says we have problems in Texas with feral hogs and wild donkeys.
Okay, do you think one day of dealing with these problems is by putting them on the plate? You should eat invasive species away.
Yeah. See?
I was down in Jamaica in the tropical Caribbean basin. There's a fish called lionfish. It hangs out just lurking in seaweeds and seaweed beds and eats other fish babies. They're relatively small. The lionfish is only 12, 16 to 18 ounces. So all they eat are these tiny little fish. They're very, very dangerous. There are also rampant job issues down in that part of the world. Unemployment is double what it was in the country, triple in the case of some fishermen. Blah, blah, blah.
Sorry, I'm reading ahead.
I'm a slow reader. Rainbow Fisheries. Okay, there's nothing about donkeys.
I like the Texas
down
thing.
Further.
The dangerous parts of me.
Oh, in Texas, with everyone running around and shooting wild hogs, is where has the hog been and who is testing the meat? Mm. It's like, well, nobody tests the meat when they eat deer and stuff, do they?
I don't know.
I've never gone deer hunting.
A goddamn hunter.
Where's the hunter when you need one?
You're diving for fish in the Caribbean. Oh, these are about fish, blah, blah, blah. Do you guys like fish?
Yeah.
Is he fish?
I'm not a fish person.
So you don't eat sushi? Mm-mm. Fish is bomb, dude. We had sushi one time, though. It was not bomb. It was good, but
was
not bomb.
Where was it? It
wasn't from 7-Eleven, was it?
No.
Oh,
where did we go? I don't remember.
I remember, but I don't know if I
want to
say it.
Yeah, don't just call
no,
them
just
out.
Like what area? Like Redlands. Here in some... Oh, Redlands,
yeah.
Okay.
Because I lived there, like, hey, we want to sponsor your podcast.
Yeah. No, really, that's all. I was just wondering what area.
No,
the first time I ever had sushi was in Hawaii, so I kind of got spoiled.
Yeah,
I don't think that's very far-fetched.
No,
I don't.
I guess it's, I guess it's really not.
And if you really respect kind of the, like, don't get me wrong, I'm like,
hey,
I'm not
there's
really
a donkey,
a
let's shoot it. Just kidding. I'm kidding.
Don't get me wrong, I'm not a hunter, but I respect, like, what I've heard, what I've read, kind of what I've studied, so.
Because they're the ones who kind of, like, keep, like, whatever they're paying for to hunt goes back into the environment.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're paying to maintain those places so they can continue to do what they do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I had the same, when her and I just, you know, got back from Australia, and like I said, I had a kangaroo burger. And I mean,
that?
This was like 2 days after we had gone to.
But it was because, I mean, like,
and
we were
feeding
holding
them
kangaroos.
You know,
yeah.
So I had the same, like,
tonight,
struggle in my head, like,
But they're cute,
and I feel wrong.
Right.
And, but then I thought, well, hold on, wait a minute. Let's stop and think about this. Because in Australia, a kangaroo burger is basically the same as in America with
a cow. Yeah.
It's the same, you know what I mean?
Well,
even though
that's, it's their,
kangaroos are a lot cuter, you know? And so, they, and I guess I
cows
always thought...
Cute.
Oh, I know. Well, not all of them.
Yeah.
But still, I had that internal struggle because you don't, that's not the first thing I think of when I think of having a burger.
Yeah.
I don't think of eating a kangaroo.
Yeah.
You know?
No, for sure.
So maybe you do have to
roll
your
Wait, he boxes you?
Yeah. I'll show it a little bit. Yeah. But dude, I just learned about that in for China as well. So whenever I heard
dogs?
The joke of like, oh, they eat dogs.
They
eat dogs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm
they
like,
heard
oh my
them.
God, they're fucking going in the back alleyway. Grab me a goddamn cat.
They're grabbing Kona.
And throwing that shit. Yeah, throwing that shit on the barbecue. No. They
yeah,
have
that makes
just,
me sad.
Like, just like cows and cattle, all this stuff. They have farms and all these dogs. And people are walking down the street with their dogs. And they'll order dog.
Yeah.
But they'll be like, oh, I'll never eat my
I
dog.
Still, I
but
know,
I'll eat
I can't.
Someone.
Like,
that's like walking down the street with a cow. And be like,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
this is my,
yeah, this
friend.
Is my
they
pet.
They look like sheep.
Yeah.
They're like long-haired dogs. And they
that's
like hurt
fucking
them.
Nuts.
So
they look exactly the same, all of them.
Yeah.
It's
wow.
insane. Huh. But that's what they use to actually eat, you know? But, I mean, it just is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, really? And, like, yeah, it's a joke to a lot of people and stuff, but that's what they do.
That's what they do,
yeah.
All
right, check this guy out. fucking punching this kangaroo, dude. All right, and this is what I was going to tell you. Don't feel bad about eating kangaroos because they're assholes, dude. So this thing starts choking out this guy's dog, right? And this
guy's like, I've seen this video.
Yeah. Dude, it's fucking fun.
Animals.
Here we go. Check this out.
Man punches kangaroo when it places.
I like his arms up there.
Here we go. Look at it. So he's got his dog, right?
Oh, come on. This looks like they're
cuddling. Dog's like, we're just chilling.
Dude, yeah. I used to think that the dog got like fucked up. See how it's all red right there?
Oh,
that's
yeah.
His harness.
Okay, yeah, I think it's.
Here we go. Okay. So the same as dog.
Man going toe-to-toe with a wild kangaroo.
Kangaroo squares up to him.
Oh, my God.
A group of bunnies set out on a hunting trip to show their dying friend, Hylem, one last good time before he passed away from cancer.
Wow, that's like the most depressing story in the world.
Yeah, 3D vision.
And we just want to see the kangaroo boxing. The
dogs ran ahead of them.
Fucking punch that motherfucker.
To pick up the scent of the pigs and steer clear of kangaroos.
Unfortunately,
toe to toe with a menacing marsupial. The dog happened to be wearing a protective vest to shield him from the
Oh my god, that's good.
Luckily, it protected him from the nasty claws of the roo, too, which can cut through flesh. Greg Tonkins ran into the ring.
This is funny.
Okay, I didn't see this video.
I just want the 30 second one. Here we go. Squares up. Look, he's all beefed up.
He's like, get the dog out.
Must have seen stars. He'd probably never been hit like that before.
I thought he was going to punch
him. Took
him
a moment to pick out that
punch.
That would have
been funny, dude. He just punches him in the face, and the kangaroo's like, what the fuck did you just do? Yeah.
Seconds later, in a stunning upset, the kangaroo accepted defeat. Bounding off.
Look how fucking swole he is, dude.
I know, he's all. He's still standing there watching him.
Right?
Motherfucker.
It really should be animated. Suggest stories to
good lord, that got loud.
What the fuck?
That's
right?
Crazy.
So that dog had a,
fucking
vest on to protect him from the boars.
Yeah.
Those boars are dangerous.
They are.
And kind of the same situation in Hawaii. They're an invasive species.
Yeah.
So people literally, like, just need, like, my cousin, he's a they call him a Paniolo. He's a cowboy,
Hawaiian cowboy on Maui.
And they literally just slaughter him. Like, not inhumanely, but they just have to kill him because they'll kill a fucking dog.
Everything.
Like, any animal that's around, they eat everything. And then they get out in the roads, people get in car accidents, all this shit. It's really nuts, dude. But think about it. Like, you have an invasive species. Just go out there, like, do what you gotta do. Kill however many
control
of them.
Control the population.
Yeah. And people also get to eat, you know? And,
yeah.
I don't know. It's fucking nuts. But,
See, we need to rule the world.
You know? We just figured out everybody's
life would be so easy if we ruled the world.
But still come to the ranch, even though there's killer donkeys on the list.
Okay, we never said they were killer.
They're not killer.
There's a little on the slow side.
I feel like if you give them a second, then they, like, that's when they take over the road. But if you just go, like, they know to get out of your way.
Dude, that's what I'm telling you. Becky's the queen of freaking donkeys. She don't give a fuck. I see her, sometimes I drive behind you, you just... Just keep going.
This is what I learned about donkeys. They are not like deer.
Yeah.
Deer will freak out. And then
deer will fucking just all... No, deer will just be like, la, 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 fuck you, I'm going that way. Like, and they're facing that way.
Yeah.
Donkeys don't, in my experience, I don't care. They could be literally this far off the road. They're just chilling.
Yeah.
They're just chilling.
Yeah,
you know when they start to move. You know what I mean?
Because,
I mean, obviously, you know, you just kind of slow down when you see them right at the side of the road. But if they're sitting there eating... They're not just going to... They don't normally just bolt like a deer does.
So, okay. So, here I am talking shit on donkeys, thinking they're dumb. They're actually smart as fuck.
Yeah,
so
I heard that.
We were in Saline Valley, which we're not going to give too much information about it because it's kind of a place that's kind of secret, I guess. Anyways. But, dude, there's wild donkeys there, similar to here.
Mm-hmm.
And, dude, so we have this...
We have storage boxes.
We have the storage box with the
locks
handles, and everything.
Oh, yeah,
And they fucking unlocked
them. They opened
them. Opened it, ate all of our paper. They ate our paper towels.
They love paper.
Fucking everything.
They ate our tortillas.
They're nuts. And then
they're gonna be constipated.
So then we're like, get out of here.
Yeah, get out of here.
And nothing, dude.
They're scary.
We're like throwing rocks at them. Like, dude, leave. Dogs are going after them. Nothing.
Yeah,
they're just like, I'll fuck you up.
They don't fucking
care.
They
were charging dogs.
Yeah. They don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
They're crazy.
Anyway.
So that's why we should eat them.
See? Because we are superior.
And don't you forget it.
Superior. Okay, I don't know how crazy the mountain lion is up there.
He's not.
Do you know about that?
He's not crazy, crazy.
Have you seen it?
Did you determine that there was a mountain lion?
Well, you know that there is. I mean, come on.
Dude, I swear to God, I think I just saw two of the babies the other day.
Oh my God,
so
dude.
So we went next to like Texas House.
It's like my biggest fear.
In that little canyon area.
Yeah.
Like, oh, let's go check it out. Maybe there's some climbing spots up there. Start going. I swear to God, I see these two little cats. But they're like the size of like Kona. They're like this big.
They're big.
And I was like, I don't know what the fuck those were.
He's like, no, go.
I was like,
go.
We're getting
We're going this
here.
Way.
Mom is somewhere, dude. So if you go hiking, I'll bring another just to be safe.
Be careful.
Oh my God. You're not supposed to go that
Don't go off the trail. How about that?
I'm going to say, that's not. There was no trail over there.
There isn't a trail over there.
Those coyotes, they get pretty dangerous.
That's a dirt bike trail.
I don't know what dangerous close, but they get pretty close. We were going on a run the other
coyotes,
day.
Coyotes,
And right before the helicopter pad, he was right there on top of the hill watching us.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like running. I was like, oh, fuck, run back. And then she's like, tried to make me feel like a little bitch. She's like, you scared? I was like,
it's just a little
inside,
dog.
I was like, I'm not going to die today. And, so we keep going. And I keep thinking in my head, I'm like, dude, that fucking coyote is watching me. It's somewhere around here watching me, just waiting
it was,
for its
you
moment.
You said it was big, right?
Dude, they're...
Oh, no, the coyotes are... They are healthy.
Because I've seen some that are
like
this
big. Yeah,
he's
good out here.
This one is like probably like this big. Oh, like, that's a fucking wolf, dude.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We got some... Yeah.
All right, so...
Go hiking midday.
Yeah, midday is always good.
Yeah, no snakes.
No predators.
Fucking, yeah. They're like, it's too hot out here, so just be careful.
So, are we done?
Yeah. You want to wrap it up? Alrighty, guys. Thank you so much for listening.
Woo-hoo!
Thank you guys for coming. Dude, honestly, I think this is one of our most successful podcasts.
Yay!
Yeah, we didn't even smoke weed, so we're good. Awesome. So, like,
I've never done that before, so.
Lori Sofer, not Surfer.
Not Surfer.
And we got Becky Kilborn, one of the owners of Olive Dell Ranch, which is actually one of our sponsors. So make sure you guys come and check out Olive Dell Ranch. It's located in...
Colton,
California, which I know technically you guys are like, just research Reno Valley, Redlands, Loma Linda, and Colton.
Riverside.
You'll find it. No
even Southern California. Nudist resorts.
Just search Olive Dell Ranch.
Yeah, there you go.
Or Olive Dell Nudist Resort.
And check the website up, olivedellranch.com.
And come July 13th.
July 13th. It's going to be a freaking rager, guys. Listen, I
can't
explain to you enough how amazing it's going to be.
Like and what's the deal for 35 and under?
So 35 and under, you get them for $15. It's only three $5 bills. And
so
that's
resort fee, event fee,
and tent capping
fee. Wait,
or 15 $1 bills?
Or $15 bills.
Wow.
Or you pay 1,500 pennies.
Oh,
wow.
Is that the same thing?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, you better make sure those tents are rolled, okay?
But, make sure you bring your own tents. Cabins are all sold out now if you don't have one. If you check out our website, we have the registration online now.
Mm-hmm.
So you can actually buy your tickets. That way you don't have to deal with anybody. You just show them the ticket at the front gate.
Avoid the line.
Come on in.
Pay beforehand.
It's going to be cool. So
we have pictures of the resort. We have pictures of where you can tent camp. We have everything.
Yeah. So check out ournakedstory.com. Make sure you guys check us out on iTunes or whatever the fuck the...
Yeah.
Apple Podcast is, Spotify, fucking any podcast.
Good job, guys.
Apple's not sponsoring us every time.
Yeah. Alrighty. And then also, guys, just so you know, go to truenudist.com as well.
Mm-hmm.
Put in the offer code ournakedstory.com and receive your first year for only $30, $29.99. And you can be a lifetime member for only,
I don't know,
something.
Yeah, something.
You did a good deal. Check it out.
Check it out.
Alrighty. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate it. Do you guys want to say anything before you leave?
Come to Olive Dell. Yeah. Be a naked person.
Yeah. Life's better.
Yeah.
Be a naked person. All right, guys. We love you, and I hope you guys have a good rest of your day, and we will talk to you later.
Peace out.
Bye.